Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, July 10th, 2023. This morning I will talk about the core challenge. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Almighty and loving God, all praise and honor, power and dominion, truth and justice are yours, because you sent Christ to die for our sins and raised him from the dead. We confess that by ourselves we are lost and broken, unable to contend with the spirits of our day. Cast out the spirits that afflict us, cleanse our hearts, and redeem us for you alone. We give thanks for the newness of the morning sun, the work that you have given us, and the comfort of family and church. Cast out the spirits that afflict us, clean our hearts, and redeem us for you alone. In the power of the Holy Spirit, draw us to yourself. Open our hearts, illumine our thoughts, and strengthen us in your service. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In John 14:6 we read, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If the slander of Marx, Freud, and Nietzsche posed no philosophical threat to the Church, more recent challenges have been more fundamentally challenging for both biblical authority and the Church's witness to it. The cultural historical argument put forward by Jack Rogers, a Presbyterian theologian in San Francisco Theological Seminary, and published by the Westminster John Knox Press, was evocative. The Church got it wrong about slavery, women, and divorce. Now it has gotten wrong about homosexuality. Rogers' book was used to launch a successful nationwide campaign within the Presbyterian Church USA to ordain homosexuals and to support gay marriage. Rogers' book goes on to challenge orthodox biblical hermeneutics, where an orthodox approach to biblical interpretation would consider the author's intent, other statements in Scripture, and the reader interpretation in the original languages. Roger advises to focus on the double love command. What would a loving God want to do or say? While the role of love in Christian witness is undeniable, God's self-revelation to Moses is more complete. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. This is Exodus 34:6. God is love, but he is not only love. While one might criticize Rogers as unrepresentative, unbiblical, and unorthodox, his critique split the Presbyterian Church USA and other denominations since then. The problem is that his core challenge is at least partially true, and Rogers' argument is intuitive to any rebellious teenager. In our anti-intellectual milieu, who has the patience to hear out a complex theoretical rebuttal? The crisis of authority that led to the Reformation began with the infusion of humanism into the Church. Rogers' anthropological argument reiterates this same humanistic critique. It's the Bible and tradition once again, but this time tradition is taken from culture, not church practice. The Reformers broke away from the Catholic Church to emphasize the authority of Scripture, much like the breakaway denominations today. At the time of the Reformation, that is, the period after 1517, few people doubted the metaphysical reality of God, and most people could not read a Latin Bible. When Luther and others translated the Bible into the languages commonly understood, this was something new and intriguing for most people, who could not even read in their own spoken languages. When Calvin introduced public education in Geneva, it was expressly so they could learn to read their own Bibles. Today, in our materialistic culture, most Western people are functionally literate. What is different is that the metaphysical reality of God is openly ridiculed in the public schools, in the media, and among intellectuals. Furthermore, the deconstructionism promoted by cultural Marxists, which question all forms of authority, leaves people suspicious of all leaders and radically alone. A replay of the crisis of authority from the Reformation accordingly plays differently in this new cultural context. Returning to this problem of the loss of Christendom and the church-state separation, the new cultural context provides no shelter from secular intrusion to our kids. Even as the formational concern becomes more critical for adults, our kids are growing up without the benefit of having seen things worth differently than the view given them on television, in public schools, and everywhere else they turn. Every flavor of perversion is immediately available and offers claim on a kid's devotion, even as parents fight daily to maintain standards of living and decency. In this context, cultural Christianity collapses, offering no bulwark against the evil and slander of our time. The good news is that Christ died for our sins so that we don't have to. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.